At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
It's the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander. It's been a while since we put out an episode. Time for one, though. The National Football League. Always a good time to talk NFL. Today we do so with Drew Dinsick. You may know him on Twitter as Whale Capper, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast. Great podcast, by the way. Talk to him about tennis all the time, but the NFL, probably his bread and butter. And we talk about the nature of home field advantage. What will home field advantage look like specifically in the betting markets? What does it look like already based on lines that have been put out for the entire NFL season, all 256 games? Then we get into his power ratings, the chasm from top to bottom in his power ratings this year, also informed by those lines that are already out there in the market. And we get into some specific derivative props, what he thinks about your standard MVP, coach of the year, rookie of the year type props. We'll get into all of that with Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper, right here on the Beating the Book podcast. Enjoy.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game, hour number two, presented by BetMGM. It is Gil Alexander live in San Francisco. Danny Burke back at the mothership in Vegas. Let's talk NFL first, though, because, I've resisted the urge. I'll be honest with you. In any normal year, you have to sort of time out when you want the football talk to start, because you don't want to get most of it lost in the dead of summer. Usually people start, coming back in droves, say early August, late July at earliest. And this year, obviously more problematic because we have a pandemic, for goodness sake. So I don't want it to get lost even further. But that urge gets satiated today, or I should say gets stopped. The urge not to talk about it too early gets stopped today, because I do want to talk about NFL. We're going to bring Drew Dinsick in, Whale Capper. Before we do, I just want to throw up something from Drew. By the way, the name of his podcast is the Deep Dive Podcast. He's the co-host of it. It's spectacular. It's not only the NFL. Obviously, we have Drew most prominently on this show to talk tennis with us, but he goes through the gamut of sports, and it's always intelligent. It's always super interesting. I think we should start here. If we could show, before we even get to him, could we show the graphic we have, the grid we have from Drew, Danny, if we could, because I think this is a sort of great precursor to having him on the show. Cause I want to talk to him about things like Cam Newton, and other current topics in the National Football League. He's got some thoughts on that, but here's a grid to start. And this is just sort of a handy dandy thing that he has done. And I just want to, what we're going to talk to him about, because just in this little graphic here, and this is just the top 16 teams, obviously, But just in this little graphic here, there is so much to sink our teeth into. Let me just try to give the hack explanation on this real quick, because the people are like, oh, those numbers don't look that complicated. What the heck does this mean? All right. Well, on the left is his power ratings of National Football League teams. And the way he does it, he has Kansas City at the top at 8, Baltimore at 7.5. Now, what that means is versus a average team in the National Football League, these are going to be the points. Again, average, neutral site. Those are the amount of points a team like that would be favored by. Kansas City, 8, Baltimore, 7.5. Then there's a bit of a drop down to San Francisco and New Orleans. Then there's a bit of a drop down again. So the very first thing you notice, and by the way, if we went beyond 16 and we went all the way down to 32, the difference between Kansas City and Baltimore and the worst teams in the National Football League, the first sort of macro sentence of this football season, can be found right here. And if we extended it again, there you go, down to 32. You see Jacksonville all the way at -8.5. The difference between the top team, Kansas City, and Jacksonville is 16.5 points. Now, this is, I talk about this in baseball for the last 2-3 years. If you've listened to a numbers game, my biggest line about baseball the last 2 or 3 years has been, and I said this before the season 2 years ago, even before it even happened, was the difference, the chasm between the haves and the have-nots gets wider every single year in baseball, seemingly. Well, this is the first year where, and it's reflected right there in Drew's numbers. This is the first year where you can see the chasm between the haves and the have-nots is widening. That's 16.5 points there between Kansas City and Jacksonville. 16.5 there in his power ratings. Again, those are points to an average team, neutral site kind of thing. So 16.5. So if Jacksonville were to play in Kansas City, not only is it 16.5, but then you would have to add whatever home field is there. And so there is your point spread roughly. That's according to his projections. And it's all based on, and let me say it's Gil Alexander right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, and Game Plus. It's all presented by BetMGM. The interesting thing about that is that it's all based, all of his projections, and this is, I think, for any NFL handicapper, all of those projections you see from Drew are based on the fact that what is available to us as a betting public is the point spread in all the games in the NFL this season. All games, weeks 1 through 17, all 16 games per 32 teams. So you have, 260, something like that, 256 games in the National Football League season. Don't hold me to that number. I'll do the quick math. 32, 7 times 8, 32, 64. Yeah, that's 254 games? Again, quick math in my head. Anyway, there's that many games in the NFL season, 256. There's that many games in the NFL season, and you have that pool of numbers, and what the exercise is right there is to try and figure out a minimization of error and to try to figure out if you projected your picks, how close you can get to those actual numbers of those games here pre-flop in the season, the games, the point spreads of all of those games. You're not going to get any of them. You're not going to get most of them exact. But what's the analysis you can do to get them as close to those as possible? Those are his power ratings. So again, the biggest thing, first of all, you can take away from it is the difference between the haves and the have-nots. The chasm between the top and the bottom is way wider than it was last season. So I think it's 16.5 this year. I want to say it was like 11 by his numbers. He'll come back and he'll tell us, what exactly it was. But I think that's the difference. I think it's about a 5-point difference between this year and last year. Now, the other thing is that second column. And that second column is home field advantage. And if we could throw that up one more time. Now, here is the other sort of big macro statement about these numbers. What we see in home field advantage, we usually over the years in football, just as a quick sort of hack, we're like, oh, home field advantage is 3 points. And then as we got more sophisticated, we realized, yeah, home field's probably not 3 points. Maybe it's 2.5. And then, by the way, in some cases, it's not even that. Well, this is an NFL season unlike any other, obviously, where the anticipation is that there will be, it's anticipated there'll be no fans whatsoever. So with no fans, how much does that adjust even further? Now, these are pretty startling numbers on the right. So what we're getting here is that home field advantage is either accounts for 2 points or in some cases 1.5. We should talk to Drew about that too, because that's very interesting. And then, you know, my question to him, quite frankly, will be, is he comfortable with that? Does he think that that's an overreaction? Or does he think that that's actually what it should be? Maybe it shouldn't be anything. Maybe it's, maybe home field advantage, and here's the sort of contrarian play. Maybe home field advantage with weird travel during a pandemic is actually bigger than it ever was before. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to look at it. But anyway, those are his numbers, and those are the biggest takeaways from that as we effort to get Drew Dinsick, Will Capper on. But those are the general parameters that I think anybody handicapping this NFL season. And look, we just talked about how basketball is a big unknown, and we just talked about how baseball is a big unknown. But football, we're hoping, has some sort of normalcy. And on the other hand, you look at it through that lens right there, and, well, I don't know. Going to have to make certain adjustments on football as well, assuming that football will, in fact, happen when it's supposed to. And again, right now, two of the preseason games, what ostensibly would be weeks 1 and 4 in the National Football League preseason, have already been canceled, even though it hasn't been formally announced. That's week 1 and 4 will be done. Right now, it looks like the two games in the middle of the preseason will happen, but the NFLPA has said, look, we don't want to do any of those preseason games. And I think that's the sensible thing. By the way, the NFL does not, according to the NFL, they do not have to listen to whatever the NFLPA suggestion is on this. But one of right mind might argue that during a strange time like a pandemic, that they ought to listen to the NFLPA, get their input on this, and they probably should scrap the whole preseason. But we're still, because that's obviously next month. You scrap that, you still got 2 months to work with before the actual regular season. We have Drew Dinsick, Whale Capper, on the phone right now. Drew, great to hear you. Great to see you. I guess I get to see you. There you are, out there in Long Beach with a victory salute. Listen, as I was, I know, right, man? Let's, I'll take a deep breath. Dude, I'm so happy to see you because you represent my favorite things in the world, football and tennis, in terms of handicapping. Tennis, man, still a little bit away.
It's going to be a while. How you been, man? Make this work, man. It's going about as well as you could be expected. This is absolutely wild. You know, here in Long Beach, they had the beaches closed this weekend for the 4th of July. I never thought I'd see that in my life. You know, pretty much everybody's still spirit up. Everybody, it was a good weekend. Hot dog eating contest was a hell of a lot of fun from a betting standpoint. So, no complaints here. I just, you know, again, I really hope both, our favorite sports here, NFL and tennis, get their act together by this fall, because, it's coming quick.
Dude, it is coming quick. Listen, I don't know if you heard any of this, but as on the run up to you, what I did is that we flashed up your very handy grid that you put up with your power ratings and your home field advantage. Yes. Please, I wasn't going to start with this, but since I talked about it already, let's start with it. What I said was the two biggest takeaways for me, and you can riff on this because this is a whole segment in and of itself. Two biggest takeaways are the chasm between the Chiefs at the top and the Jaguars at the bottom appears to me to be way wider than it was even last year, which is fascinating. And by the way, I don't think it's wrong. I think it's just interesting, right? And again, the points are to zero to versus an average team on a neutral site kind of thing. So Kansas City starts at 8, Jacksonville -8.5. The other thing is the home field advantage question, which we can table for now. Let's start with the power rating. That is a wider chasm. Am I imagining that? I'm not imagining that, am I?
No, this is not just relative to last year, but I've been doing this now 4 or 5 years, where I take all of the look-ahead lines that we have for the whole season. And if you know what all the look-ahead lines are, then it stands to reason that there is a fundamental market power number that exists for every team. What would they be lined against an average team? And so I basically just, this isn't even my opinion necessarily. This is legitimately just back calculating what is the market temperature on any of these given teams relative to a neutral team. Kansas City, as you're seeing, sits at the top that as expected, where they're 8 points over. They would be an 8-point favorite against an average team on a neutral field. And it's a great experience to kind of go through and just see what how the market is evaluating any given team. And you're absolutely right. This is the widest distribution from top to bottom that I've seen any year doing this in the last 5 years. And it's not by a little bit. Usually the top of the power rankings is about plus six and the bottom is maybe minus six. So you're talking about a 12-point gap between any two teams. And that's not crazy, right? I mean, what's the typical line you would expect to see when the worst team is on the road to the best team is maybe what, 14 points. And so the fact that there's, 12 or 13 points separating the top and the bottom, isn't unexpected, but sure enough, this year we're looking at closer to 16. So you're talking about a 4-point adjustment in the breadth of the distribution this year relative to last year. But again, if you think about how the offseason went, that actually completely checks out, because it did very much feel like the rich got richer, and teams like Jacksonville and Carolina, who are effectively starting over, they really slid down to the bottom. So it's intuitive, at least in the way that the teams kind of, the way their off seasons went and the way that a lot of the team building played out.
It's intuitive. And like I said, if you take the bottom, Jacksonville plays at Kansas City, 16.5 plus home field. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
Right.
You can make a bet right now on Washington at San Francisco. Week 14. What would you guess that line is?
I'm gonna guess it's north of 10, and 15, maybe 15 14.
And a half.
Yeah,
15 and a half.
Wow.
I would not have guessed
that.
You can go get those 15.5 points with the Redskins now. Game goes off as San Francisco -3 in December, we can high five. So,
wow, yeah. I think you and I didn't talk about this specifically, and I didn't get to this point in your podcast, but I have a feeling you and I have the same opinion of the Redskins. But we'll get to that. Okay. Again, this is based on, and I said this, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, I said this on the run up to you. It's based on, we've got the availability. We've got 256 point spreads already, 17 weeks of NFL play with all 32 teams. And you're doing you're trying to minimize error. So you are culling the numbers in a way that is not going to get every point spread exact, but it's going to, as a pool, get them as close to the number as possible. And there, poof, are your numbers.
You got it exactly right. And you mentioned, a couple of ones, half a point off here or there, there's a little bit of misfit, but this represents on average the space between the teams.
Okay. Is the translation from game to game then for handicappers? Obviously, I'm generalizing here because every game is its own thing and its own circumstance. But is the biggest takeaway of a wider gap between haves and have-nots that there will be more betting opportunities because of that variance?
I think what it gives you, and you guys go through this, I'm sure in the call, this is much more kind of common thinking about game of the year in the college football market, right? Like it's a wild day when they release game of the year and people line up and start betting at the Golden Nugget down, out in Vegas. Every year. I love those stories. I love hearing the reports of a number moving 5 points while somebody's in line and they can't get the bet, what they've been waiting for, they're just great stories. And not many people really put a lot of emphasis or really look hard at the game of the year lines for the NFL, but they're all out there. You can get a pretty good sized bet down on pretty much any game you want over the course of the season. And I think what we're seeing this year with this implied wider distribution really incentivizes taking some chances on teams like the Redskins, who are going to be, massive underdogs in position, in later on in the season, especially when we think, all things could entirely change. There's the Redskins especially, and I don't want to spoil it entirely, but they can only go up from here. Right. And this implies what we're looking at now. These numbers inform all of the lines you see for all 17 weeks. And if any team, like, you know, last year, you know, the look ahead line for Cardinals at the Rams was something like Cardinals plus 13. And then we get to game week, and I think the Rams went off as 3-point favorites, or maybe even a pick 'em. It was incredible how much, you know, how much the line moved between the preseason and the actual game going off. And I think just it just speaks to, if you can find a couple of teams that are at the bottom, and you can identify games where you see some teams who are at the top, and you recognize that just the law of averages is going to kind of bring these teams to the middle over the course of the season. You know, you can get some pretty valuable numbers, because, you know, like we were just kind of bringing up with the San Francisco example, like, what are the chances that that game, that you lose value on that ticket between now and week 14? Like, what, yeah, how high could they possibly make that line? You're not going to bet,
yeah,
you know, Redskins right, plus, you're not going to bet plus 15 and a half right now and then wake up in December and, oh my God, it's
damn
plus
it,
17 and a half. I'm on, yes, the wrong side of the key number.
That's
of 17.
Right.
Like, this, it's just, it's a very unlikely outcome. So I think it kind of speaks to go and find some, you know, go and pick some, you know, some big numbers on some of these teams that are disrespected, and just hope that they kind of find their footing over the course of the season.
Talking to Drew Dinsick, whale_capper on Twitter, co-host of the Deep Dive podcast. What's your co-host name, by the way, Drew? Let's give him a shout.
Yeah, Andy Molitor. He's been doing good things in the golf markets recently. So we're going full bore NFL though. The month of July, I think we're going to start diving into, you know, team by team breakdowns, look at what they did in the off season, coaching changes, try to, you know, establish some priors that we think are pretty strong heading into the season. So that's going to be a fun month of July, kind of diving into the NFL.
I love it. We've got a couple minutes here though. The other part of that grid, home field advantage. I think this is fascinating, and I was trying to, and again, forgive me everybody for repeating this, but I think it's important. For years we were like, oh, it's three. Then we sort of got sophisticated. We're like, oh, yeah, it's not really three. It's probably 2.5. And some places not even 2.5. And we thought we were super intelligent. This year is unlike any other, as we know. No fans, at least to start the season, as far as we're aware. And your adjustment here shows 2.5s. How do you feel about that? You think that's that sounds right?
Yeah, so this is again the wild part about this is there's like no subjectivity in this. Like I don't think two 1.5 seems reasonable to me, but that's what the market says right now. Like that's the, you know, you look at Cowboys Eagles home and away, and you can't tell me any differently than they're only building in about 1.5, 2 points into those two games, and that's not crazy. I mean, I think last season, average was about 3, almost 3.5 doing this exact same exercise. The market kind of was building in 3. Like you said, we saw home field advantage was neutralized massively over the course of the season, just because a lot of teams took their travel more seriously. They took their preparation for long road trips more seriously. And so it was diminishing pretty quickly. I think referee bias was another major thing. We know the NFL has really been pushing hard on getting their referees to be more, less biased by the home crowd. So it is shrinking. We know that. I think 1.5 is probably my assumption as we head into the season, what I'm going to use on all these games until we see otherwise.
God, this is so fascinating, because like what football sort of, as we've been trying to navigate through basketball and baseball and hockey, football sort of been on the back burner. Now you start to wrap your head around how different this could be. And by the way, would it surprise you? I got to go to break, so I'm sort of saying this rhetorically. We'll get your answer on the other end. Would it surprise you if it was the exact opposite? Like, would it surprise you if travel was so bad, right? Yeah, that home field became this randomly bigger thing than we imagined. Uncharted territories, more with Drew Dinsick. Will you hang out with us, Drew, for a little while since we have you now? We'll talk about Cam. We'll talk about his answer to home field, that last question. Get into the Redskins. And maybe if we have time, some of these derivative markets. Coming back, Drew Dinsick at whale_capper.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Gil Alexander back on A Numbers Game here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, live in San Francisco. Down the coast, it's Drew Dinsick somewhere in the LBC. That's how the cool kids call Long Beach, by the way, Drew. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. that's right. By the way, we're just talking about this, and I love, like, I could talk NFL with you for hours. Here's a story for you. The year was 2011, I believe. I was going to say 2010, but I think it was 2011. And I was sitting at the M with Andrew Giroud, who had been on my podcast a couple of times. He was the lead developer of the Midas algorithm, which was supposed to do, at that time, Cantor Gaming's in-game stuff. He was a British derivatives trader. He was there for a while, and then he bounced. And he's had a sort of, I don't want to say peripatetic, but he's done some different things over the years since then. But Andrew and I were sitting down there, and I remember that was the first time in the U.S. where he was like, in his British accent, because it sounded super intelligent, he was like, yeah, we put lines out for every single game in the NFL. This was like in July or August. And I remember in 2011 thinking, what are you doing? And he was very, very calmly, he was like, oh, why wouldn't I? And that seems like, you know, the medieval times. And so that's the pool from which, not CG Technology in this case, but PointsBet, I believe it is in this case, as you just told me, that's the pool from which you are making these calculations. You're coming up with your power ratings in the home field. By the way, I was rude because I ran it into a break. But your reaction to, would you be surprised if home field became just a wackier, bigger deal because of pandemic-influenced travel problems?
No, for sure. And I think almost there's kind of a consensus home field number across the NFL. I think that's going to be totally shattered this year. There's going to be some teams that get the travel right. They're going to have things figured out. We already know that there are some teams that specifically requested, hey, we know we have these two games in LA that's on our schedule this season. Will you give them back to back so that we can stay in Los Angeles over that time frame? You know, teams are already thinking proactively about how we're going to deal with this. And those teams, I think, are going to have, you know, the home field advantage when you have a team like the Patriots or the Niners, who's made some of these smart decisions about their schedule, that could be neutral. Whereas other teams, you know, we're going to fly across the country, same day of game, and then fly home because we're not sure how we're going to figure out, the travel is going to be so impacted here. You could see that, you know, them have three and a half, four. It might be even more, a bigger number than we're used to seeing for teams that are screwing this up. So I think you really are going to have to kind of go through very, very carefully case by case as we get more information on the season. And I think that's probably going to manifest as one of the bigger qualitative angles to, you know, week in, week out handicapping, is just figuring out what a team's plan is going to be. That was always kind of the most effective angle for handicapping the London games. You could kind of figure out like, okay, team A has this figured out. Their guys are going to be rested and ready and ready to fire when they kick off. Team B is going to be, you know, jet lagged, groggy, sleep for the first half. And, you know, you could see a lot of angles like that materialize over the course of the season with the travel being, all turned around with the virus going on. So
I got to run into another break here in 2 minutes, but give us the Skins viewpoint that you have that might be counterintuitive to most folks.
Well, as you saw in the look ahead numbers, they're being graded out as one of like not just a bad team this season, but an all time bad team. You know, like they're seven and a half. Minus seven, a power number of minus seven, meaning against an average team on a neutral field, they'd be getting a touchdown. That only has room to go up, in my opinion. The Skins defense, particularly their front seven, is a clear top 10 across the league.
Yes.
Clearly top 10. This is, you know, the defensive personnel. If you stacked up this defense to what people's expectation was of San Francisco's defense last offseason, you'd be talking about the same strengths and weaknesses in terms of depth at, you know, key positions, in terms of youth at, pass rusher especially. So they really only have room to go up, in my opinion, in terms of how the market perceives them. That a lot of this is kind of speaks to specifically to Dwayne Haskins' performance last year and what people expect of him this season. Like, it cannot be, it's graded like he is going to be the 30th best quarterback in the NFL. And it's entirely possible that he takes a major step forward with the young crew of receivers and a new coaching staff. He could land in the middle NFL average this season easily. And if that's the case, then this is an 8-win team. It's not a 4-win team, which is the way that they're being rated right now by the market.
Yeah, I have him over in season wins. Dwayne, I had Steve Zabin, who's the number one, legacy sports talk show host in D.C. Steve Zabin was on, and he told me on air here, he's like, he knows from inside folks, there were plays where Haskins didn't even know the play as he approached the line of scrimmage. Like, he had no idea what he was doing. So if you just base it on that baseline and see his performance the last couple games last year, which are really good, you can only go up. You can only go.
Only way. Only one way to go.
We'll get Drew's opinion on Cam to the Pats. This is interesting. Coming back on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Besides Point Spread Weekly, one of the benefits of a VSiN Plus subscription is a midday email with best bets from guests and hosts mentioned during the shows. We've also increased the amount of stats and analysis we post to VSiN.com. Just sign up for our risk-free subscription right now at VSiN.com/subscribe. It is free until August. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander, Drew Dinsick, my guest. One of my favorites, that's for sure, when we talk tennis, football, whatever. And I knew I was going to do this with you, Drew. I promised like derivative markets bets. We'll try to get to one here. I'm going to have to ask you back tomorrow or the next day to do more of these. I'm going to impose on you. But let me just get the Cam story out of the way. Cam Newton, obviously, to the Patriots. Can make $7.5 million with incentives, but generally speaking, it is all about a favorable deal for the Patriots, really risk-free. How did you view this? The futures markets adjusted very minimally, the AFC and Super Bowl. How did you view it for your power ratings? How do you view Cam and the Patriots?
Yeah, man, I think you framed that correctly. This is one of those decisions that only has upside. You look for these when you're handicapping the NFL, right? There are a lot of lines out there that are coin flips. In fact, most probably are coin flips, but it's kind of like we were talking about, the Redskins have only upside. This move for the Patriots only has upside. I think by and large, before they signed Cam Newton, the market power number on them, the market win total number on them, their number to win the AFC East, all of that was inflated by kind of just the fact that Bill Belichick is still the coach and they're the Patriots, and who cares if they lost Tom Brady? They'll figure out a way to get Jared Stidham to 9 or 10 wins. I found that to be a lot to ask, especially at Jared Stidham, who I don't believe to be an NFL caliber starting quarterback. And so the fact that they bring in Cam Newton, who we most recently remember for having a very difficult time making precision passes down the field for the Panthers, and my thought process of the end of his tenure with the Panthers was it was largely foreseeable, because they brought Norv Turner in to run the offense at the same time that they lost a massive amount of talent on their offensive line. And when you combine a Norv Turner offense with an offensive line that's porous, then you create opportunities for your quarterbacks to take, he's taking 7-step dropbacks and he's getting, pressure from the blind side. He was taking
totally
taking hits that were completely unnecessary, on top of the fact that you need a physical runner like Cam Newton to get you your 4th-and-1 conversion, your 3rd-and-1 conversion. That was why he is such a dynamic, quarterback and athlete on your roster to begin with, is because he was unstoppable in those situations. And so now you expose him to all this extra, physical damage. And sure enough, he takes a shot to the shoulder 2 years ago and never really the same since. But with the foot injury he sustained to the beginning of last season, and then his ability to take pretty much the entire rest of the season off, I think opens up a possibility that he could be a heck of a lot healthier than we've seen him play either of the last two seasons. And on top of that, he's entering a system with Josh McDaniels that optimizes getting the ball out fast, throwing shorter passes. He's not going to be asked to do the things that we were clearly seeing him having difficulty doing. And in fact, they're going to lean more, presumably they're going to lean more on, what he still has as far as his strengths go in the passing game, combined with, likely a healthier set of, healthier foot and leg situation, so that he can still be as dynamic as possible in, short yardage, short goal to go situations. And I think that this does absolutely create an opportunity where you can consider the Patriots realistic favorites to win the AFC East again, even in this year where they've turned over so much of their roster. You can still very clearly knock the Patriots offensive depth chart as far as talent standpoint goes. Julian Edelman obviously has seen his best days many years ago. The young wide receivers they drafted last year have had a very difficult time adjusting to this offense. It's going to be interesting to see if either of those guys can take a step forward. And of course, the running back was always kind of a secondary part of the New England offense anyway. So it's, you really are expecting Cam to develop some chemistry with his young wide receivers and with Edelman in the short passing game to sustain this offense. And I think it has a chance to work. Realistically, though, I think you do have to now consider the Patriots favorites to win the AFC East. But that's about as far as I can really talk myself into believing in this team. The Chiefs and the Ravens are so far, in a way, more talented than this Patriots team, and more complete. Both rosters are more complete. And we know that the quarterbacks are, more capable of winning 12, 13 games, whatever it's going to be required to get the one bye that is available in the AFC this year. So I think, Patriots road probably stops for them in the second week of the playoffs. But if Cam Newton is even, 80% of what we saw from him a couple of years ago before he sustained the shoulder injuries and the foot injury, then this team, I think, wins the AFC East pretty comfortably.
Yeah, and it's reflected in your power numbers, right? After Baltimore and Kansas City, the AFC just drops off a cliff. New England is the next most with the two. There's a 6.5 point difference between the Patriots and the Ravens and the Chiefs at the top there. You can totally see the Patriots being a team that wins the AFC East, maybe wins a playoff game, and then just gets destroyed on the road at either Baltimore or Kansas City. Like, they totally are in that pocket. So before we go here, we have 60 seconds. Comeback player of the year, which is a market that some people have available to them. I know it's at the Westgate. Big Ben 4-1, Cam 5-1. Do you make a play on either of those guys? You go elsewhere.
Man. I think it is a two horse race, and I think that those are very fair prices. I would lean Cam just because there's going to be a big media narrative and there's going to be a lot of coverage if he has even, if he even remotely looks like he's looked at his peak, there's going to be an enormous market swing and it's going to be quick. Big Ben, people probably are less inclined to even remember he missed last season. So I think Cam is between those two prices, they should probably be flipped. I think Cam should be the market leader, and I think Big Ben should be close second. But it's really, the bar is really low for Cam to clear to really be considered the guy to win that award.
Drew, I can't thank you enough. We got to have you back tomorrow or the next day. We'll talk off air about this because I want to go through offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. I want to go through MVP, maybe defensive player of the year, some of these derivative markets. If we could have you back, that would be wonderful. Drew Dinsick, whale_capper on Twitter. The Deep Dive Podcast with Andy Molitor, your co-host. Let's give Andy another shout. Thank you, Drew. Appreciate it, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Always fun to talk to you guys, and can't wait to talk to you again later this week.
My man, let's do it.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game right here at Visa, where sports betting analytics live actionable sports betting information. It's Gil Alexander live in the Bay. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. We had this gentleman on Monday, did a few segments with him then. We'll just try to eke two out of him today. We won't keep him too long. He is known on Twitter at whale_capper. The man's name is Drew Dinsick. He is half of the Deep Dive Podcast team and just does phenomenal work in sports betting. And there he is without his sunglasses on. I would not even recognize you. This is the first time I've ever seen you without your sunglasses on. Drew Dinsick from Long Beach, California, ladies and gentlemen. What's no sunshine?
Yeah, no, it's a gloomy morning, but that's okay. It's a great morning. We get to talk NFL. This is so great. Thanks for having me back. I've been looking forward to this since we chatted on Monday, and I hope you guys are doing well this morning.
Yeah, I hope so. Were you too? Listen, we had a great time Monday. For those who missed it, I think what we're going to do is we're going to put that in this in podcast form, and we'll throw it out as a whole. But on Monday, we talked about your power rankings and how the chasm between the haves and the have-nots is wider this year than not only last year, but as you pointed out, quite a bit of years in the NFL. And we talked about the diminishing value of home field advantage, not just your opinion, but by the numbers based on the pool of 256 spreads that are out there for all 17 weeks, we hope, of the National Football League season. Man, we hope, Drew. We just hope. That more than anything, we hope.
Knocking on wood over here.
Yeah, please, knock some more. Okay, so today, let's actually get into some specific things. Before we get into some of the derivative markets, because I know you did podcasts throughout the whole summer, MVP, defensive player, I believe, of the year, coach of the year, you did a whole bunch of stuff. We'll talk about those momentarily. First, let's just go into the notion of season wins, how you're even approaching that as a group, because I'm not even sure you have any bets because of the strange nature. And then any futures, whether it's Super Bowl, conference, or division, maybe there's a division future you might like out there, but just generally, that overall approach, how does it feel for you? Like, what do you think you're doing here?
Yeah, this is a very unique year. Normally, almost all of my preseason work, almost all of my preparation heading into the season is really focusing on win totals, is trying to identify early value on those and getting ahead of the, you know, the moves. Because we see, you know, half a win move is pretty common across the entire breadth of 32 teams. And so that's a pretty lucrative market to get involved in. My personal approach with season wins is looking for value on unders, just because in general, they tend to be, fat on the over. If you add up all the season wins across all 32 teams, there's more wins than there actually are available. So that's pretty intuitive. And I tend to look for teams that have, you know, that are lined in the, you know, in the 8 wins and above range, who we think, hey, an injury to this quarterback drastically changes, the outlook for this given team. And then I specifically like to identify the alt unders, like, for instance, Circa, they may have, a number like 9 up for the Colts, but I would much rather have a number like 8 at, under 8 at plus 200 than I would rather have under 9 at minus 110. And that's just kind of all sort of philosophy I've generated over the years under the auspice of, we don't really know a lot about how these teams are going to perform over the course of 16 weeks, especially to the tune of, having that degree of certainty that the number is correct. And so the variance kind of gives you an advantage to look for some of those alt unders and alt overs. That's a fun way to go about playing the wins total market. Now, in my prep this year, I got spooked big time. I looked at week 3 and 4 of the season, and there's no divisional games, which to me spells trouble, that the NFL is kind of built in this, potential for, moving the schedule around. So I'm going to steer clear of the wins market this year and focus on those division futures and on the Super Bowl futures, as well as the prop markets you mentioned.
That makes total sense. Gil Alexander, Drew Dinsick, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And not, by the way, Sirius XM channel 204. And not even a division future. Like, even that, you're just, no.
No, division. I think division futures markets are worth focusing on for sure. I do think that they're gonna if they play the full, some semblance of the season, they're still gonna get the two divisional games in for every division. And so I do think that those markets are ripe to try to find value. But in general, whereas most of my focus would be on the wins totals this year, I'm gonna look towards other opportunities to try to get down preseason.
Yeah, it's a great point about the schedule too. How it's formulated, that there is room for cancellations. By the way, RG3, the great 2012 Offensive Rookie of the Year, Robert Griffin III, yesterday saying he's trying to break news. He's like, there's going to be no preseason. He said it yesterday, which we already kind of assume is probably going to be the case, but it doesn't. 2 games already canceled. We'll see if all 4 are. All right. Well, let's start with MVP. That's fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, you did this one, if I'm not mistaken. This was the earliest of your derivative podcast on the Deep Dive podcast with your co-host, Andy Molitor. So you did this a while ago, and I'm not sure. I didn't even bother delving in because I'm like, I wonder if he's changed his thinking on this so many months ago. What are you thinking with the MVP market?
I haven't really seen a lot of action. I haven't seen the market move much. I haven't changed my opinion at all, really. So a lot of that is still pretty relevant. In general, the futures market, it's important to kind of identify what is the hold in these markets. It's important to shop around for prices, because you can do a pretty decent job of putting together a pretty low synthetic hold across all of the options that are available to us as bettors. And so those are kind of the key starting points, I guess, for any of these conversations. MVP, to me, I kind of have a very specific formula as I kind of break it down. I realistically think there's only about 15 men in the NFL who have a realistic shot at winning the MVP. So that's not that many. And after that, it's just a matter of coming up with fair prices and trying to find, identify value. And the parameters that I use to get to like my 15 or so candidates, I think are reasonable choices. Off the top, I throw out defensive players. I throw out wide receivers, and, you know, somewhat controversially, I tend to throw out running backs just on the basis of we don't see running backs nowadays get the kind of workload that they can accrue the type of count, you know, volume stats that would break records and warrant them considerations against the top tier quarterbacks in the league. So I'm really starting with a pool of 32 quarterbacks. And then the other qualifying criteria I like to use is the voters tend to look at the top of the standings, and they tend to say, okay, well, these were the good teams. Were there any outstanding players on those teams who warrant, an MVP award? And so if you are a team that is an unrealistic shot at getting to 10 wins, then I'm not really interested in betting an MVP on you as the quarterback. And so, for instance, guys who are sort of at the top of the market, guys like Russell Wilson, for instance. You know, he's gotten a lot of attention this season. People have kind of brought up the pretty unbelievable point that he's never even gotten an MVP award vote to date in his career, which seems insane, but is true. I'm still, he'll get one someday, presumably, and maybe after the Pete Carroll era is over. But whatever the case is, this year in that division, which is super competitive, and with the defense that he has on the other side of the ball from him, I have a very, very tough time seeing the Seahawks coming out in, say, the 1 or 2 seed this year. And so they're probably in the dogfight for a wild card. And if that's the case, he could put up the best stats of any quarterback. It's just going to be very tough for, you know, the voters to kind of look past the fact that there's a number of teams that have, 10, 11, 12, 13 wins potentially. If the Seahawks are sitting there at 9-7, he's pretty much out of the race. And that's kind of where I have that team. So there's some pretty big names at the top of that market that I'm pretty willing to strike off. Wilson is one. Lamar Jackson, I'm willing to look past this year. Number one I find it very tough to believe he'll be able to replicate the unbelievable numbers he put together last year. I thought that was afforded by somewhat of a softer schedule than they have this season, on top of the fact that they've had some roster turnover on the offensive side of the ball that may make it a little bit more challenging for him, especially starting out the season. And so there are some big names at the top there that I'm okay looking past. Prescott at 12-1 doesn't show much value for me. He's gonna have a lot of opportunities to score. The Dallas Cowboys, I think, are very much. I'd much rather have a number like Dallas Cowboys 12-1 to score the most points this season than I would Dak Prescott 12-1 MVP, just because there's going to be a lot of credit shared in Dallas between all of those weapons on offense. So I think that's a little bit too short. We get down the list there, and I see a guy like Deshaun Watson, who you could have had for about 30-1, in the last couple of weeks, and it may still be out there available in the 30-1 range. It looks like 18-1 here at the I can't tell where the odds are from, but the 18-1 is much closer to a fair price. For me, for Deshaun Watson. Anything in the 20, 25, 30-1 range for Deshaun Watson makes a ton of sense. And my case really for that is, Deshaun absolutely, clearly a top five talent in the NFL. The AFC South is wide open. Expectations for the Texans this year are relatively low. All he has to just basically be himself and have a little bit of luck bounce his way as far as, capturing some wins. We know he's an incredible late game player. So the likelihood that he's going to have some fourth quarter comebacks and some media narrative is going to be there to warrant voter consideration. That appeals to me big time. So of the kind of guys at the top, Deshaun Watson is the one that sticks out the most as the mispriced. And so then after that, let's look down the board and see if we can find anyone who has a realistic shot to get to 10 wins, who's lined in the 40-50-1 range. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say there's two names that pretty clearly stick out to me in the 40-51 range. One of them is a comeback player that we talked about on Monday, Ben Roethlisberger, and the other is San Francisco quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm less enthused about Ben Roethlisberger, obviously more of a risky play. I like the fact that he's kind of changed his life, and he's presumably off the alcohol and off the painkillers, and he's a little sharper this year. He's had a year to rest his elbow. He had a procedure on his elbow as well, and he's talked a lot about this offseason, how well he's feeling. He has a plethora of weapons on offense. They have a good enough defense that they can get to 10, 11 wins, I think, pretty readily. And I think that, you know, that kind of feel good story, lends itself to an MVP at, you know, price like 40-1 is what I bet that at. And I think that's very worthy. And then Jimmy Garoppolo, there's a very clear pattern when you look at Kyle Shanahan offenses, how the quarterback develops over the course of, say, three seasons. And this is the year that we're expecting Jimmy Garoppolo to really have that, huge bump from making the most out of the Kyle Shanahan system. And on top of that, we expect very clearly that the 49ers are going to be in contention to win the NFC. We expect very much that, there's going to have to be some level of improvement from the quarterback position if they're going to want to, take the next step and win a championship. So the overall system that they have in place in San Francisco and the weapons that they put around him, on top of the fact that, they have one of the best offensive lines, and, they lose a guy I forget who retired, but they lost their key tackle who retired, and bring in Trent Williams is massively the huge Staley. Upgrade for them. Staley retires. They yep. don't drop. They don't miss a beat. They bring in Trent Williams. The center for the 49ers is absolutely outstanding player. He kind of I think he got injured in the Saints game last year, and it did impact, in my opinion at least, it did impact Garoppolo's performance down the stretch. And so I think a full season with that supporting cast and, the Kyle Shanahan system, which, just makes the quarterback, turns Matt Ryan from a borderline bust into an MVP candidate. Like, I think that recipe, that blueprint is absolutely there for Jimmy G this year.
I love those. Deshaun Watson, 18-1 right there at BetMGM. Big Ben 40-1 and Jimmy G 50-1 there in the MVP market. We're talking to Drew Dinsick at @whale_capper. The Deep Dive podcast is his podcast with his buddy Andy Molitor. The last comment about the MVP market, because I do want to move on to Rookie of the Year, offense and defense. And this has nothing to do with this year, but as I'm looking at those and I see Patrick Mahomes up there at +350 here, he of the $500 million contract, it occurs to me just as I'm looking at that, like, I wonder if he'll get to the point, and it certainly doesn't apply now this year, but I wonder if he is truly the transcendent talent that it looks like he might very well be. If he's going to be in that LeBron category in future years, where you can almost give him the MVP any year that you want, but voters will just decide randomly not to because, well, that's no fun.
If he keeps winning Super Bowls, I think that's absolutely in the cards. I mean, you look at, because the opposite of that is the Peyton Manning, the phenomenon. Like, Peyton Manning, they wanted to give it to him every year. And it felt like that was in large part because he was, he just couldn't break through in the playoffs. He just couldn't get that chip. And then eventually, he finally wins the title and they stopped giving him MVPs. But I think there's going to be voter fatigue for Patrick Mahomes. He put up such a spectacular statistical season 2 years ago that anyone who voted for him then is going to look at whatever stats he puts together this year and they're going to compare him to that year and be like, well, it wasn't as good as his MVP year. So, not sure we can vote for him. And on top of that, he's kind of gotten the taste of playoffs and winning and championship now. Like, what does he need to really prove in the regular season? I mean, there's going to be a dogfight, obviously, for the top seed in the AFC between them and the Ravens. But I could very easily see, kind of as a team, they save their bullets a little bit for the postseason and try to repeat this championship as opposed to, say, just going scorched earth from, week one to week 17.
Very possible as well. I can totally see that. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Drew, you and I had a lot of fun talking before the NFL draft about where we thought players were going. All right, now that they're situated where they are, let's talk offense. There you go. Birds have some thoughts on this as well. What do you think?
Yeah, so the Offensive Rookie of the Year is a really, really fun handicap. And it's a very difficult handicap. Defensive Rookie of the Year, not so much. But Offensive Rookie of the Year, I think I have no problem at all striking down Joe Burrow at plus 250. I think the Cincinnati Bengals have a very, very difficult schedule. They have, the offensive line question marks are very real for me on this team. He obviously, without a full season, full off season to get him in NFL football shape, I worry a little bit about his frame and about his size, about his ability to, make 16 starts, to be candid. So I'm going to steer well clear of Burrow in that market, and that should present value since he's such a huge part of the top of that board. So looking past him, I thought, reasonably hard about Tua, but I think his over under on starts is probably 8-ish. It seems like the Dolphins really are going to give Fitzpatrick the ball to start the season, and presuming he doesn't doesn't go into the cycle where he's throwing four picks a game, it's going to be a couple weeks before we see Tua make a start. And really, the Dolphins aren't incentivized to put him out there given his injury history and putting him at risk this year. So we could see Tua spend the season on season with the clipboard. As far as other quarterbacks to consider, for sure, I'm interested in whatever number I can get on Jalen Hurts. The fact that they took him in the second round, and the fact that Carson Wentz is one hit away from missing the season is very intriguing to me. Obviously, the Eagles have holes in their roster, but overall, it's a pretty competitive team. It's a team that we're expecting to compete for the NFC East title. And so, can you take a guy like Wentz out of the quarterback role, throw Hurts in, and still win 10 games? Sure. So I think that, kind of the same kind of potential that that our friend Sports Cheat identified 3 or 4 years ago with Dak Prescott, I think absolutely exists for Jalen Hurts this year. And if you're going to give me 100-1 on the potential that he ends up as the starting quarterback and could win double digit games, then I'm interested in that, that long shot for lunch money, obviously. Beyond that, and really kind of speaking to that situation exactly, that's kind of the way that the entire market sets up for offensive rookie of the year, in my opinion. It's going to be someone who gets an opportunity that we don't realize right now, which makes it more of a gamble and less of a handicap, obviously. You look and say, okay, well, who are some of the players that have a reasonable opportunity to step into roles and get volume, get statistics from the running back standpoint, from the wide receiver standpoint? And the only guys that I could truly identify that I'm intrigued with, Chase Claypool at the Steelers. He has a very real chance to step into the wide receiver two role in Pittsburgh. The wide receiver two role, think about how Juju Smith-Schuster, he exploded with Antonio Brown drawing double coverage. A guy like Claypool, I feel like could have that same kind of impact on a good offense, on a winning team. That intrigues me. I got down on Claypool, I think at 40-1, and there, I would say that the fair price on him is probably closer to 20. So that's the only kind of other shot I think is worth taking besides getting some Jalen Hurts insurance.
Yeah, I did not expect you, Drew, to come on and say Jalen Hurts. I really did not. I just checked the Westgate. Jalen Hurts, just the one book I happened to check. Jalen Hurts 80-1, and Claypool 50-1. So
there we go.
Better than the number you got there on Chase.
There we go.
Steelers. And I hope, boys and girls, I hope everybody listened to the synthetic hold, trying to create a zero synthetic hold. Drew referenced that. We talked about it with Ed Miller and Matthew Davidow about their book, The Logic of Sports Betting, trying to manipulate markets in a world that reduces the hold for the book, tries to get it to zero, maybe even put it in your favor, by the way, on all these. I like those two picks. We'll do Defensive Rookie of the Year. And we'll do Coach of the Year. Ooh, I have a Coach of the Year pick that I had. I'll call my shot. I did this earlier on the show a few weeks back. Brian Flores of the Dolphins. We'll find out what Drew thinks about that and others. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. More with Drew Dinsick coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, Gil Alexander, just like the man said, here in San Francisco. Drew Dinsick. Sitting out on, I don't know if it's his backyard, his patio there in Long Beach, California, overcast day. Drew and I were just talking off air about how in 1982, in a shortened NFL season, a strike-shortened year, Mark Moseley, place kicker of the Washington Redskins, won the National Football League's MVP award. It actually happened, boys and girls. At the time, Mosley set the record for most consecutive field goals converted, which at that time, Drew, was 27 in a row. True story. I know this. I was at those games for the Skins as a kid. All right, so we have about 5 minutes here to get through these two. So let's start. Defensive Rookie of the Year. I don't know if you'll need to spend much time on this. Any conviction on Defensive Rookie of the Year, or is that virtually impossible?
This is the only prop market on the board where don't look past the top. This is Chase Young's to lose. This is the entire blueprint of the Redskins' defense is so similar to what San Francisco did last year, and the likelihood that Chase Young gets featured the way Nick Bosa did, and gets the counting stats in terms of sacks, in terms of fumbles, you know, in terms of just disruptive play, is so high. I think I managed to pick off a 4-1 when they originally opened these, but +220, I think, is still value. Chase Young, in my opinion, fair price on him should be even. It's going to take an injury to keep him from Defensive Player of the Year this year.
Yeah. And the Skins were defensive never not taking him. Yeah, defensive rookie of the year. Yeah. Skins were never not taking him, despite some speculation otherwise. All right, Coach of the Year. I think this is fascinating. So I already said this about a month ago on the show, and I haven't made very many NFL bets. In fact, I've made two, just because I'm sort of like you. I'm like, I'm just going to see how this plays out. I don't want my money tied up for no reason. I took a flyer. This is before Cam Newton. I took a flyer on the Dolphins division, 11-1 odds. Figured maybe I can earn with it later. The other one was Brian Flores. Talk about the this falls right into the wheelhouse of creative ways to bet something that isn't immediately obvious. So for me, the way to bet the Dolphins, and it took me a while to think of it because I already made the AFC East pick, but I was like, oh, you know what? Brian Flores is sitting here at 25-1. If they do anything, he's getting Coach of the Year. Forget all this other stuff. That's what I'm betting. I don't know if you did the same.
I did, and that is the exact right way to approach something this. Is exactly the right way, because Dolphins 11-1 to win the East, is that value? Yes, they should definitely be kind of closer to above the Jets and closer to the Bills than the market has them rated, in my opinion. But even beyond that, the Patriots could still win the East if the Dolphins win 9-10 games and get a wild card. Oh. That is totally. Absolutely puts Flores in the decision. You add to that some of the intangibles, the current NFL's, the intention of a lot of the people in the room to try to, provide some, avenue for African-American coaches to have more of a spotlight and an opportunity in this sport. And there's a lot of goodwill about the way that Brian Flores has handled his role with the Dolphins to this point. Like, just the job he did last season, getting the guys to play for him, the communication that he's had publicly this year during all of the social unrest has been outstanding. I think there is probably people who are ready to vote for him today, not even seeing the Dolphins play a game.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. If you had to go elsewhere on that list, is there anybody else you have your eye on, or is it singularly focused on Flores?
Well, thinking of criteria, the Coach of the Year almost always gets awarded to a team that was not expected to win their division that gets to about 10 wins. And so that's kind of the key in terms of evaluating this market. I'm easily striking Belichick from the top of that list because he is expected to do well. Because he is Bill Belichick. I'm easily striking McCarthy and Shanahan. And some of my friends really are high on McCarthy. And I've had some very, very serious disagreements. Like, no, there's a better way to attack that. Just the way you laid out with the Dolphins. But Shanahan's expected to win 13 games. So, how does he exceed expectations and win 16-1? So you have to look down that list. And, going back to some of the Redskins love that we've professed in these two shows that we've done together, why is Ron Rivera 30-1? This defense is going to potentially be the best defense in the NFL this year if everything works out well. If the Redskins are in the wild card chase, if they are not, if they're competing with the Cowboys down the stretch, Ron Rivera's in there.
Drew, love it, man. Could talk to you for hours. Hopefully we'll be able to do this often during football season. I would look forward to that. We can only hope.
Best of luck. Thank you for having me.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.